Britain. The Infected Blood Report. Blood, debt and tears. The biggest scandal in the history of the NHS is at last properly acknowledged.
Derek Martindale was 23 in 1985 when he was told that he had HIV and 12 months to live. He survived, but his younger brother Richard, who also contracted the virus, did not. After Richard died in 1990, Mr. Martindale asked to see his brother's body one last time, but was refused. Such was the fear of AIDS that hospital staff had already stitched closed his brother's nose, mouth and eyes. Mr. Martindale is one of more than 30,000 Britons who were infected with HIV and hepatitis C through treatment in the National Health Service, or NHS, in the 1970s and 1980s. Around 3,000 of them have died to date. Mr. Martindale was also the first victim to testify at the public inquiry into the infected blood scandal, which was set up after decades of delays in 2017. And on May 20th this year, he was in a conference centre in central London to hear Sir Brian Langstaff, the chair of that inquiry, present his final report. Over 2,500 devastating pages, Sir Brian explains how a catalogue of failures led to such a calamity. Those in authority, doctors, blood services staff and the government, did not put patient safety first, he concludes. To top it off, they then covered it up, compounding the victim's suffering. This is a day of shame for the British state, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, told MPs later that day. He offered an unequivocal apology to the victims, many of whom had died, without seeing anyone held to account. Most of the detail has been known for decades. Blood used in routine transfusions and blood products given by the NHS turned out to be rife with infection. Most notorious was Factor VIII, a clotting agent extracted from the plasma of thousands of donors that could be self-administered by people with haemophilia, a rare genetic condition in which the body is unable to form blood clots. Doctors looked upon it as a revolutionary treatment. For many, it turned out to be a death sentence. That could have been largely avoided, the report concludes. The risks of hepatitis infection from blood products were known before the NHS was created in 1948. The NHS knew, or should have known, the risks of HIV infection by the end of 1982, yet failed to limit them, in part because advisers failed to calculate them correctly. Complacency and convenience took precedence over caution. Thousands continued to receive contaminated blood long after the dangers were understood. Victims were then not told about their diagnoses for years after they were tested. Some unknowingly infected their partners. Perhaps thousands who were infected with hepatitis C from a transfusion remain undiagnosed. The disaster was no accident, said Sir Brian. Other choices could have been made, and were, by some. In Sheffield Children's Hospital, doctors foresaw the risk of using plasma products made by pooling blood from large numbers of foreign donors. About half of the Factor VIII that Britain imported came from America, where drugs companies actively recruited gay men because their plasma was rich in hepatitis B antibodies, and sourced plasma from paid prisoners and drug addicts. Instead, they reverted to giving patients cryoprecipitate, a more rudimentary but safer product made of plasma taken from a single donor. Other institutions decided to follow a fatefully different path. At Lord Mayor Trelaw's College in Hampshire, a specialist school for disabled children with its own haemophilia centre, doctors continued to give the children Factor VIII. Often they regarded the pupils as objects for research. Some students and their parents were never told they had been infected with HIV. It is likely that around 70% of 122 pupils with haemophilia at the school died as a result of infected blood products. Trelaw's was a microcosm of what went wrong in Britain, the report concludes. Sir Brian's narrative, though meticulous, neglects to acknowledge that this was an international scandal. Many other countries also failed to assess the risks of blood and blood products. Around 4,000 people, many of them with haemophilia, were infected with HIV in France, for example, compared with around 1,250 people with haemophilia in Britain. Parts of Britain pioneered some solutions. Scotland was the first country in the world to be self-sufficient in heat-treated factor VIII, which eliminated the risk of AIDS, though not hepatitis. England did not follow. Whereas Sir Brian piles most of the blame on successive British governments, perhaps because of the especially centralised nature of the British state and the NHS, other countries have pointed the finger elsewhere. In America, civil litigation has focused on the pharmaceutical companies. France placed the blame largely on individual doctors. In Britain, because it took so long to set up an inquiry, most of the culpable doctors are now dead. But even if other countries experience infected blood failures of their own, there are ways in which Britain was particularly egregious. The decisions taken in the 1980s were broadly in line with other Western countries, notes Anne-Marie Farrell, an expert in medical jurisprudence, who contributed to the report. But in the way that Britain responded to the scandal by covering it up, that's where the UK becomes an outlier, she says. As other countries were conducting public inquiries into what had happened, the British government was burying the evidence. Files in the Department of Health were deliberately destroyed, and denials issued. Patients' medical reports went missing. Victims were stigmatised and given little support. In 1989, Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister at the time, said that people had been given the best treatment available, a line that was used repeatedly thereafter, and that Sir Brian describes in his report as inappropriate, unacceptable, and wrong. To save face and to save expense, there has been a hiding of much of the truth, he writes. For this reason, the report that was published on May the 20th was always primarily going to be about acknowledging the victims. The inquiry drew upon more than 4,000 of their statements. Throughout its seven-year span, Sir Brian, a former judge, repeatedly called the process a collective endeavour. The second volume of his report is dedicated entirely to the personal experiences of the afflicted. His second recommendation was that there should be a permanent memorial to the victims. His first was the victims receive proper compensation. On May 21st, the government released long-awaited details of a scheme that Sir Brian had first recommended should be established last year. Unusually, it seeks to compensate victims on grounds such as the social stigma of infection, as well as awarding damages for financial loss and the costs of care that would normally be recognised in a court of law. Speed is a priority, so the compensation scheme will not typically assess claimants individually. These features will probably make the costs extremely large. Those who suffer multiple infections can expect to receive at least £2 million, that's $2.5 million each, with smaller payments being made to affected family members and carers. The total costs of compensation are expected to reach £10 billion. What will happen to prevent a repeat of this injustice is less clear. Britain has seen a succession of scandals and cover-ups in recent years, from the Hillsborough Stadium disaster to the wrongful convictions of over 900 post office sub-postmasters, the inquiry into which continued this week. Recommendations to change the defensive culture of public bodies like the NHS and the civil service often follow, though, as Sir Brian himself acknowledges, they are extremely hard to implement. In the report, he points to specific mechanisms that might help, from existing proposals to improve patient safety in the NHS to the introduction of a duty of candour for civil servants. The latter could be a positive step, says Emma Norris of the Institute for Government, a think tank. That is for the future. For now, the focus is finally on recognising and compensating the victims of the infected blood scandal. The words come from you, Sir Brian told them after receiving a standing ovation. This is your report.